Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
Welcome to the Endless Hip Hop Podcast. I thought we changed the format tonight.
I'm good.
No? How you doing, old Tashi?
I'm just trying to I'm just trying to be nice to you and my family.
Oh, thanks. That's really sweet, hon. You know, I find it easy to be nice to you because I like you. Now, I am in a good mood. You are in what? I don't know what.
Well, I don't know. We just got into some fights today, and I think I just need there's no release in the pandemic.
I found release in the form of an Oculus Quest.
Oh yeah, you've been working up a sweat in the
hell yeah, man.
In the room next door.
I can't recommend it enough. Let me say this first of all, there's no feeling of manhood and virility and alpha maleness quite like clicking in the eyeglasses extender into your Oculus Quest 2.
Well, I heard you, and you were in your office, and you were making all this noise. You accidentally hit the door.
I did, unfortunately, punch
it. And you were sweating and panting.
Let me tell you the good news. I did hit the door. However, I fought a 2-round boxing match, and I was in the red corner, and guess who the judges called it for? Shaboy.
Wait, there's judges when you knock... When you get into the Oculus Rift?
Well, it's a boxing game.
Oh, God.
And I knocked the guy down a couple times, and I won the match. And best of all, I broke a sweat doing it. And I'm thinking, this is the perfect way to exercise in the pandemic.
I know you broke a sweat because I tried to record me opening the door to find you.
You were trying to humiliate me.
I wanted to get it on video.
You can't humiliate an alpha male.
Of you making all that noise, grunting, and you wouldn't have seen that I opened the door.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be so funny, but you had just taken off the set.
Yep. Got to work on that timing. That's what I learned in boxing.
Thought maybe I could bribe you with it.
Well, look, I got the Oculus, and this is actually pretty funny, but I got the Oculus because our next door neighbor has been doing unbelievably intrusive construction for a year. I mean, and it's
We're all working from home.
Yeah, and it's just reached a fever pitch this week. It's it's so loud.
It happens. It's not their fault, but it sucks.
But it sucks, and they feel bad, and so they got us a gift guilt. But the funny part is, he contacted me. He's such a cool guy. He's a guy we did karaoke with, and he contacted me. He's like, "Do you have an Oculus? I want to get you something because I feel so bad about the construction." And it is so funny to me that our neighbor got us a gift for a couple that he's ruining the lives of. He got us a gift that he's got to know that at least one half of the couple is going to absolutely hate and be nauseated by. It's like when Al Bundy used to buy Peggy Bundy a bowling ball for her birthday and be like, "Oh, you don't want that? I'll take it." It's like, why not? I told my friend I got it, and he goes, "Did he get Natasha a gift because he felt guilty about buying you an Oculus Rift?"
Yeah, you asked me to put it on today, and I just felt this overwhelming sense of repel. It just felt repelled by it.
I'm going to put it on you after this.
The opposite of a magnet. It just kind of needed to. I think I closed the door.
I'm going to bring you upstairs after this. I'm going to lay you down, and I'm going to put the Oculus Rift on you. Oculus Quest 2, actually, is what it is.
Sounds hot.
Well, look. You humiliate me, talk as much shit as you want, but today was a very fun day in Oculus Rift land. Although I did just play the roller coaster game, and I felt a little ill and felt like I was going to fall down. So, you know, not every game is fun.
Well, I think that we're doing pretty good considering. Although today we got into a pretty big fight.
I didn't think it was that big of a fight.
Maybe our viewers and listeners could weigh in.
Mm-hmm. The podcast
viewers. Can I say my point of view of what happened, my side?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
So
wait, before you say it, I do want to warn you that I'm an amateur boxer with a 1-0 record. So you might not want to go too aggressive.
You're an amateur boxer. You're a professional boxer when it comes to repartee. Verbal repartee. So probably you will win this one, but I would just like to say every day around 12:30, Motion and I work from home, and I am always very concerned about his lunch and what he's going to eat and if he's okay. And, you know, I like him to be fed, and he likes us to eat lunch together. And all of a sudden I smelled this spaghetti dish at 11:59 and you had reheated all the leftover pasta that you made that was amazing. You're such a good cook. You made spaghetti bolognese or spog bowl, as you
spog
called
bowl.
It.
Spog bowl. Appreciate you for that.
Much to my chagrin.
A chicken
called it
spog bowl.
It was delicious. So he came upstairs and was just decided he would eat the leftovers by himself.
And then I hear from the other room, it was like Lucy and Ricky. She's like,
is that the bolognese?
I didn't say it.
Are
like
you
that.
Eating the bolognese?
I was more like confused that you would just like heat up a pretty large portion for yourself and not even ask me if I wanted some, because I would have never done that. So that kind of put me in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's your version of how it went?
It was 12:13, not 11:59. I'll tell you that right now. Burned in my brain. What my version of the events of today, of the great Spog Bowl controversy of 2020, is that you...
Are you sure people call it Spog Bowl? Because that is dumb.
I do think it's dumb, and I do think people call it that because I've been seeing that. For some reason, it's been coming up on the internet recently. Spog Bowl. And I don't think I made that up. I really think that that's a thing.
Okay.
It's a zeitgeist thing. Okay. You told me last night, hey... True or false, Tosh? I'm going to be busy with work calls all day long. I'm going to need you to put the kid down because I have back-to-back work calls.
Right. What, but is that it? Yep. That is true, okay. But people need to eat during their work calls, especially when they're home. You kind of need to eat more than usual, right? Because you get like low blood sugar.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, as a professional pro-am boxer, I have to carbo load before I go into a big match. But so I wasn't thinking of your work calls as that taxing. However, at about 12:10, I began to be hungry, but you were on a work call and I didn't want to disturb you. So I decided I would make the spog bowl, of which there was only one portion, and I heated it up and I started to eat it. And I thought, you know what? My wife can probably make lunch on her own when she catches a break. She's an adult, and I think she can make a lunch.
You do present your case pretty nicely. However, I will say...
So I'm in there slurping. Mm-hmm. Sucking on down some noodles like Lady and the Tramp. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think if the situation was reversed, you would have felt pretty bad that I was just reheating all of this amazing food and eating it for myself.
That is not the case. I would not have felt pretty bad. I would have been fine with that. However, the argument you should be making right now is if the situation were reversed, would you have done that? The answer is probably not. You probably wouldn't have eaten.
What if I'm making the argument I want to make?
Okay, then I will refute it and I will have to knock you down, much like the fighter from St. Petersburg today in the Oculus Rift boxing game. The other, and I know our listeners are fascinated by this because there's no way this isn't an incredibly compelling story that we're telling.
Wait, we're not done with it yet.
The other detail here is...
Okay, the other detail is pretty bad.
Oh, wait. Oh, I haven't gotten to the fun part yet.
Okay.
There was, in fact, only one portion of pasta available. There was not lunch for two. There was lunch for one. And I decided I would be that one today.
Is your spaghetti bolognese my favorite food?
That is true.
Just checking.
Okay, yes. You present your case well. Yeah. So what did end up happening was Natasha began to say, why are you eating without me? And I did run into her office, give her all of the pasta, say, here, you can have it. And she started running after me with the bowl of pasta saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm disgusted by this. And I ran into my office and deadbolted the door. And she started banging on the door saying, take it back. Take it back.
I was serious.
I know. I did. I took it back and finished it. It was really good.
Are you sure I said I'm disgusted by this?
You said something to, like, you were trying to emphasize that you didn't want it. And then I was like, I wasn't accepting that argument. And you started to like expand on the idea of not wanting something, which was like, it actually repulses me. I don't want it. I'm nauseated by it. I
made you take it back.
And then I finished it. And I was really glad you gave it back to me, to be honest.
And then I came upstairs purposely to ask you a question while I was holding my disgusting turkey sandwich.
No.
Just so
no.
You'd feel bad.
No, that isn't what happened. You came up with a sandwich and you were like, I think maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to the sandwich because I was just like, I figured like most people, you were just eating a sandwich. I didn't realize it was a spite sandwich. And you were like, well, I'm just going to go into the other room and eat my ham sandwich. And I was like, wait, we don't eat ham. Like that's, I go, I'm like, ham? You have a ham sandwich?
It just sounded worse than turkey.
She switched out meats because she thought it sounded like a worse meat. But it was, we don't have ham. I'm like, ham? She goes, no, well, it's turkey. I went into the other room and ate your turkey.
I just wanted to make sure you saw me eating that sad sandwich.
It's just a sandwich.
It was like cheese and mayonnaise.
Lunch isn't important. To me, what's important is dinner. Dinner, we had a nice dinner tonight.
You're right.
We had a little bit of pizza. We had some salmon.
It was fun.
It was nice. We had some olive oil cake. All's well in the Leggero Casher household.
You're right.
Am I?
Yeah, I'm sorry I got angry and pounded on the door today.
Well, listen, the best point we made while we've hashed this out over not just the podcast, but the whole day, is I will acknowledge that you would never have done that.
Thank you.
You would never have fixed the spog bowl for yourself and just macked on it.
I will say that you're pretty lucky that your main issue is me is that I think about you too much.
That is a quality problem. Yeah. So I'm sorry I didn't ask you if you wanted some spog bowl.
Please don't say that, though.
Would you rather? Here's a question.
Wait,
for you.
How do they spell spog bowl?
S-P-A-G-B-O-L.
Bowl.
Bowl.
They do bolognese. They shorten it with B-O-W-L.
No, B-O-L.
B-O-L.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you. Bowl. Let me ask you, what would you rather?
Okay.
Would you rather me have fixed it for you and been like, you know, do, put a little sprig of parsley on it and like a long stem rose and a afternoon glass of Chianti? Right, brought it up for you, you know, and put like a checkered tablecloth down and been like, my wife, you're working so hard, I just want you to have a little bit of spog bowl. But I the problem is I say spog bowl the whole time and for the rest of my life. So would you rather get the pasta, right, from a loving husband who always says spog bowl?
No.
Or have me just eat the pasta and not think about you at all, totally inconsiderate, but I say spaghetti bolognese?
You know what? Spog bowl's kind of growing on me, so
oh, no.
I think I would have liked the meal.
Well, Tosh, I'm sorry we had a frictional day, but I got some good news that's going to make your mind rest easy.
What?
I'm thinking about getting a new RV. So that's good, right? I'm thinking about selling my old one and getting a different one.
Let me remind you of the rules of our house. We have a one RV maximum, and you can't buy one and then like try to be selling the other one. Just so you know, that's one of the rules we have.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
All right. Well, listen, Moshe, I think we should take a call.
I agree with you, and I would like to do that.
I feel like we've aired too much of our...
our dirty spog bowl. Hey, Natasha.
Yeah?
I've been thinking.
Yeah?
You're... and forgive me for being crass. Titties are looking boisterous these days.
Well, thank you.
Well, why is that?
I started wearing a bra.
Oh, which kind of a bra?
Actually, a bra sponsored by this podcast, Third Love.
Oh, I love Third Love.
Third Love is designed for your perfect fit. See, that's why my boobs look so good, because before I was wearing a size that was too big.
Boisterous. Oh, you used to wear triple Ds, right?
No, I was wearing, I think, a B when really I'm like a large A.
Yeah, you are.
But Third Love has a perfect fit promise. They stand behind their products, and if you don't love it, exchanges and returns are free for 60 days.
Yeah, their bras start at only $45, and you can find your favorite new bra with high quality, comfortable styles, and they're cheap. There's more than 80 sizes. Every Third Love bra is made with signature memory foam cups made from a mold of my hands. Just kidding. That's not true. They've got no slip straps and a scratch-free band from cups AA all the way to I. That's my favorite one, including half cups and bands 30 to 48.
There is no substitute for comfort, especially when it comes to your bra. Third Love donates all their gently used and returned bras to women in need, supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area and across the United States.
So all you have to do is go to thirdlove.com and you can take their Fit Finder quiz, get a perfect bra, and as a listener to the Endless Honeymoon podcast, we want to offer you 10% off your first purchase.
Go to thirdlove.com/honeymoon now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 10% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/honeymoon for 10% off today. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Remember our fun with the snowman up in the woods last week?
That was so cute.
Yeah, basically we had this little stack of boxes that when you put them on top of each other, they made a snowman, and our kid was satisfied to play with the boxes. Little did she know that inside of those boxes were some of the most delicious cookies I've ever had.
We ate Mrs. Fields cookies all weekend in these little, this little snowman box, and I would say the cookies were amazing, but the little box it came in was even better.
So if you're wondering what to get a loved one this holiday season, no one's mad at cookies, and these cookies were good. They were soft. They were brownies that were just like melty in your mouthy, and then they had those kind of, every piece of the snowman body was a different level of sweet thing. In the little head, there was pretzels covered in sprinkles and like yogurt frosting.
I mean, the point is, how are you supposed to know what everybody really wants for a gift? Get them these cookies. Nobody would not like that.
I'd like to get back to how good the cookies were, though. There was white chocolate chips in one of them, and with chocolate cookie and white chocolate chips and toffee in another one with, I just want to talk about cookies.
Choose from Mrs. Fields' huge selection of holiday gift baskets and cookie tins and spread the season's greetings. We all love most, you know, the edible kind.
So our listeners can get 20% off site-wide at Mrs. Fields with promo code honeymoon at mrsfields.com. They've been making cookies for over 40 years. I haven't had a Mrs. Fields in a long time, and I just didn't remember how good they were. Go to mrsfields.com and use that promo code honeymoon. Just click or tap the microphone at the top and enter promo code honeymoon for 20% off.
That's mrsfields.com, promo code honeymoon.
They had a... chips, white chocolate chips, regular chocolate chips, snickerdoodles.
There was a donut cookie, remember that?
Oh, I want one now.
Oh, this is a couple. This will be nice because then it's a couple in one of the COVID capitals of America. Let's give a call. Make ourselves feel a little better about ourselves. Chris and Carolyn in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Here we go. St. Petersburg.
Hello.
Chris?
Carolyn?
Yeah, hello.
Guys, before we get this call started, I have some really cool news to let you know about.
All right.
You guys live in St. Petersburg, Florida, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to blow your mind. But today, I had a boxing match with a virtual boxing avatar on my new Oculus Quest. And guess where the boxer was from?
Wait.
St. Petersburg, like Russia.
Is this an actual person?
No.
Or is it like...
No, it was a
Moshe plays with bots all day.
Yeah, it was a bot. But
okay. Like Mike Tyson's punch out.
It was very
similar.
But like
way more pathetic. By himself with some goggles in a room where he's like shoved the carpet to one side of the room.
Well...
And moved his chair.
Anyway... And I don't want to offend you guys as residents of St. Petersburg, but I knocked the guy down pretty hard and I won the match.
Yeah.
So, Carolyn, we haven't heard you talk. Can we just make sure we can hear you okay?
Oh, yes. I'm right here.
There
Sorry.
You are.
Okay, cool. So what's going on, guys?
We have a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. Ugh. And this isn't like exactly
get
a
divorced
relationship.
Not gonna work.
Okay, yeah. A 3-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Yeah, and we, you know, it's not exactly a relationship issue, but we're trying to navigate sort of the Santa issue, kind of particularly in relationship to our families and our daughter's future school friends. And we don't really want to lie to our kids. But there's this giant societal lie about Santa. So it feels like a lot of pressure to, you know, to continue it. And last year, I remember, Moshe, you were like, you told your kid that it was Uncle Morty when she saw Santa.
That's right. I remember that.
I mean, presumably that's not going to like continue. And we know since you're Jewish, but Natasha has Italian family. Kind of how you're dealing with it a little bit. Thought you might have some helpful perspective.
Are you guys both Christian or of Christian descent?
I mean, our families are.
Right, right. Well, this is actually something I've been thinking about recently because my daughter, who's 2.5, loves celebrations. She's obsessed with Halloween, and I've been trying to get her off of Halloween because it's been over for almost a month.
Yeah, she's so, still deep in the Halloween
She
game.
Talks about it constantly. So now I'm trying to like transition her into Hanukkah, and boy, that is a sad transition because it's just, there's like, I had to Google cartoons about Hanukkah, and like four things came up. One of them's like Nina's World, Season 2, Episode 27. Then there's like another one that's like Season 4, Episode 3. Like they're like very specific. And then you start watching them and they're just like, and then the rabbi had to get 8 days worth of oil to make the latkes and to put it in the that's how all the women are talking in it, Moshe.
Well, I'm not liking the accent, Natasha.
No, it's not my accent. I'm just doing an impression of the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's just not that exciting. So I'm kind of torn because I used to love having a Christmas tree and like having a theme to it. Like I didn't like a traditional Christmas tree. I'd be like, okay, this year it's just going to be pink or something. I don't know. I just like the idea of making something artistic and having it live in your house and then getting a present on Christmas. But for me, what I like is like, take what you love from it. Like if you love the tree, like right now, Moshe and I have like, he's let me get boughs. You know, like those boughs.
Yeah, we deck the halls from time to time.
So that at least I can have that smell. And then, but I have to say, we watched that Greta Thunberg documentary last night called I Am Greta. And I know this seems like adjacent, but it's kind of connected. And she was really saying like, I grew up in a consuming household. And, you know, like now her life, she's like, now I don't buy new things. And like, I know that's very extreme, but it's like, don't you hate when you've got like 6 unopened boxes of crap you've ordered? And there's just like, life is just becomes about like, where can I shove this crap? Who needs more crap? You know? And I think that's a very important thing to teach your kids. Like, it shouldn't be like so disposable and like always getting all this dumb new stuff. I don't know.
No,
we definitely are on that end of the spectrum, but we're like a little worried. Are we going to like deprive our kids or deprive our parents, you know, of that sort of grandparent experience of being like, oh, Santa's coming soon. I mean, I personally always found it like my parents kind of abused that, like starting November 1st, they'd be like, Santa watches everything that you're doing. And like used it to like make me be good, which we're not interested in doing. But like now they just want to be like, Santa's coming, that kind of thing. And
that is so annoying. Santa is gross.
Santa's gross?
Yeah. He's like some like weird man at the mall who's like has a job once a year and probably pisses himself.
Wait, Natasha, those people are Santa impersonators.
What do you think Santa is?
He's a man that lives in the North Pole. Wait a minute. What are you guys saying right now?
I don't know. What do you think, Moshe? You didn't grow up with Santa.
Well, I want to listen to what's your alternate plan here? I mean, if as a Jew, I'm like, okay, if you were a Jew, I would say, well, you have to just tell him the truth because the only winter pleasure of Jewish children is destroying Gentiles' children's belief in Santa. That's the only thing we get in the holiday season that's fun, because Natasha's right. When it comes to stacking up Hanukkah versus Christmas, Christmas is like so much better of a holiday. It's so good.
It's like magical. There's like, it's sensory.
Yeah,
it's
what do we like, have? Candles and donuts.
But the rabbi said we need to get more corn oil.
Well, it's potato-based holiday.
That sounds fun.
So wait, what I'm curious about, okay, you guys, you come from religious families, but I mean, by the way, Santa has nothing to do with religion exactly. It's more like about
Right.
So you come from kind of like traditional families, but you guys are kind of less non-traditional, right?
Right.
Are you guys believers? Are you guys like religious believers at all?
No.
What do you say when they ask about God?
We haven't gotten there.
The 6 month old hasn't asked you about God yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, touche. I mean, I guess my point is, like, I doubt that you guys are going to be like, there, you know, there is no God, tell your friends, right?
I mean, we want to be respectful and be like, some people believe this thing.
So I feel like you could probably take the same approach with Santa. It's like, grandma and grandpa, you know, believe in Santa Claus, and we're not sure. We just don't know. But
it's hard, Moshe, because like it's like a big thing that kids believe. You're right. This is hard. Maybe I'm glad I'm a Jew now. Because it's stupid. Like, and that's something, it's up to them to teach the kid about it.
What did you say? Carolyn is what?
You know, a scientist. And she's like totally unwilling to.
Yes, it's true. I have this really difficult, I just cannot lie to her and tell her that jolly, large, older man slides down the chimney.
Well, wait a minute, Carolyn. It's not abrogating your responsibilities as a scientist to play a fantasy game with your 3-year-old about Saint Nick.
I don't know. It's a hard.
The details are hard to believe.
Well, yeah. Sure, but I mean, have you brought scientific method
she's like a very. She asks so many good questions right now. She understands so much. She like puts information together. So, you know, we look up information together. So for me to say all that stuff, it's like very challenging to just be on the end of the spectrum. I've been thinking about it and I don't think I can do it like with a straight face.
No, I do.
You kind of have to arrive at like the conclusion. You're just like, oh, well, he makes it around the world all in one night by magic. Magic always seems to be the sort of like final conclusion with discussing Santa once kids start pulling out.
So when your kid is like, I'm a dragon today, are you like, you're not a dragon? First of all, there were no such things as dragons. Second of all, the closest thing to a dragon was extinct long before human life even appeared on this earth.
Also, go ahead if you want to respond.
Well, it actually it makes me think, like, our daughter plays pretend a ton.
Yeah.
But whenever I engage with her, like, she'll be like, Daddy, here's a donut. And I'll be like, delicious. She's like, no, Dad, it's just pretend.
Oh, me too. So, I have the same pragmatic daughter.
Well, the good thing is,
that's what I'm saying.
Aren't your kids like not in school right now, so they don't really have that influence?
It's true.
And I think that your parents, you don't want to take that away from them, but can't you just like not reinforce it? Like, can't you just kind of like let them have the Christmas at your parents, but like you don't have to ever bring it up or ever talk about it, and just kind of like when the kid talks about it, and you can say, oh yeah, that's just like a fun thing. Nobody knows if it's real or not, honey.
Well, but Carolyn is saying, actually, I have a PhD, and we do know that it's not real. It's 100%. I mean, here's my, I'm now having thought about it for the last few minutes. I really do understand, Carolyn, what you're saying, and I'm like, I'm just grateful that I'm not compelled by culture to keep this like bizarre mythology going. This like not only the mythology about Santa, obviously, but then the mythology that it is morally forthright to infuse your child with a sense of this sense of wonder, and that it's somehow abusive to take away the fantasy. Like, that's also a mythology,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we must mm-hmm. believe that children need to believe in fake things in order for things to feel magical for them. And to take that away is to strip them of their innocence. Right. So you're in a dilemma because you're like a practical, pragmatic family, and you and you have a society that's saying like pragmatism shouldn't apply to the winter season for some reason. When it gets cold, we throw that out. Here's my thought. I have a thought. Just like your daughter says, no, that's a pretend thing. One thing you guys could do, and I feel like this could be intellectually digestible for you, Carolyn, is to say during Christmas time. A big part of Christmas time is playing pretend. And so we all pretend,
mm-hmm, okay.
we all play pretend that Santa is bringing us presents and that it's magic. And some people believe that it's, that he really does that. So it's not, it's a secret to that it's pretend. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that it's pretend, but We apply belief. You know, we pretend to believe during Christmas time that Santa Claus is coming to town.
And I'd like to take that one step further. I also disagree with Moshe. I think that maybe a mom's job is to create wonder. I think that's like kind of part of it. But
sure,
you know,
I didn't say it's not.
You don't have to do that if you don't want. You could just like, you know, feed and clothe her. And but also, you know, you could kind of, is there anything you do love about the holidays, the Christmas holiday, Carolyn?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that too. Is like we could just try to discover what traditions we would like to create. I personally just love celebrating. It's like a time for family for me. It's just being together with family, which is tough this year, of course. But we have each other at least, so that's the main thing for me about this time of year.
And just emphasizing that with your daughter and you know, whatever, maybe you guys will make cookies together, or maybe you'll do you'll make a card for your husband together. I don't know what, buy a gift for this 6-month-old or you know, whatever. Okay. Whatever is the thing that you, or decorate the house, or
but specific to the Santa question, which,
well,
you know.
No, but what I'm saying is she can do what you're saying, but then maybe lean into the traditions that might be fun for the 3-year-old that are the new things that you love.
Right, right.
You know, like I used to always paint my own ornaments and like put them on my tree. And that was so fun with me. So if my kid was not a Jew, I would like do that with her. That seems like it'd be really fun.
But what we are doing, Carolyn, what we are doing is we're getting her a bunch of corn oil and riding it around the house. So the wonder, the magic and wonder.
Don't forget the dreidel.
No, but I think what Natasha's saying obviously is right. Like finding a way to make the holiday season your own in your own way.
Because you're starting your new family. You're like, you're not your old family, and you're never going to bribe your kid with Santa Claus starting November 2nd or whatever your mom did. And,
right.
You know what I mean? Like that's something that, you know, you have to just like shake off because like, you know, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. How does any of this sound to you?
I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think she can really relate to the pretend thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we do enjoy the season and look forward to spending it doing fun stuff with our children. But yeah, I think the pretend, we'll have to like re-listen to how you framed it. But I think that it made a lot of sense to put it in the same terms that she discusses donuts or whatever.
You just have to make sure she's not the girl in her class who tells every kid that there's no Santa, which I was.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can say, you can just say a lot of people like to play. It's really fun. And also, I think in general, we should all be cutting down on the presents and the consuming.
Well, here's what I was going to say. Speaking of
gross. I know. I'm sorry. One more thing. I think another really important thing to teach kids, especially at this time of year, like the main focus is like, how do we bring joy to people who need it? Or how can we maybe help people in need? How can we make sandwiches for homeless people? Can we go volunteer somewhere? I know it's COVID, so maybe you have to get creative. Maybe we can write letters to kids in need, like have a different activity. And I want to do that with my kid too. I think it's like, that's what you should show them that the season's about.
Well, I was just going to say, and I agree with what Natasha's saying, but I was going to say, now the more I think about you two, you guys do actually believe in magic and a world of pretend. Carolyn, you're a scientist and you live in coastal Florida that's going to be underwater in like 12 years. So you got to have some suspension of disbelief, right? You believe in a fantasy land.
We'll be able to sell our house in like 10 years, right?
You better sell it now. You better sell it now and move to...
Yeah, in 10 years, everyone's going to be looking for that land.
That hot land in Michigan. You guys move to the...
Upper Peninsula.
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan is going to be the only place left. And it's cold enough that you could convince her that St. Nick lives there. From St. Nick to St. Pete. You guys, I hope we helped.
Okay, good luck, you guys. Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Moshe, that was really good advice.
Oh, you too. I mean, it was interesting to me because it was like, it was so impassioned from you that I was feeling like, oh, wow, you've been thinking about this a lot, because they were like, what do we do about Santa? And you gave all this great thoughts about just how to infuse the holidays the winter holidays with meaning, which is really nice, you know?
Well, I forgot about Santa. That's stupid.
I mean, it is stupid, and yet it's...
Ho, ho, ho! He's fat. He goes down a chimney. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And it's, you know, it just, the whole thing just seems kind of like borderline perverted. I don't know. Just some old jolly man who's
eats
like...
your cookies.
And he's like, sit on my lap, little boy.
Again, that's the impersonator. The real Santa doesn't have you sit on his lap.
Yeah, they do.
No, not the real Santa.
Oh. But
the,
also,
the real Santa comes down, eats the cookies, leaves the presents. The sit on the lap is the guy that works at the mall.
Well, that's the only one I ever met.
Well, I met the real one. The real guy.
Yeah.
He was very chill.
I have a question for you, Mosh.
Yes.
Can I get a Hanukkah bush?
I just can't.
Why?
I'll let you do what you want. It's your world. You're living in it.
It just seems like a creative festive activity. Like, I mean, our child's already made a menorah and Hanukkah's in like 20 days. There's nothing left to do.
It's like my old friend Louis Katz had this joke. He had this great joke about Hanukkah. It's a long, very funny joke. But one of the lines in it was like, of course, there are those Jews that get what they call a Hanukkah bush. Well, you know, we call those fucking sellouts. That's what we call them.
Really?
Yeah. It's like this. Oh, I'm going to do. Okay. Here's my objection to it. Okay. And I'm not going to stop you from doing it because I don't
even know what they look like. I just like to decorate a live thing that's in my house for like, oh, and then you keep the lights on. It just creates ambiance.
Listen, there's no question that a Christmas tree is beautiful and awesome and a thing of wonder for children everywhere or whatever. And this whole idea, people go like, well, Christmas is more than a Christian holiday. No, it's like, it's for everyone. It's like to be that dominated by a religion of the state that even a person of a different faith gets basically mimics the ritual of the holiday.
No, you do your own version.
But it's your own version of what?
Of the pagan
ritual
that is the winter solstice.
That has become folded into the Christian holiday that is Christmas.
Okay, so, can I try it this year and see if you hate it?
I do hate it and will hate it, but you can do what you want. I will not stop you.
That doesn't sound very fun.
I'm not going to sneer at it and tell our kid, like, don't look at that. That's mommy's sellout bush. But if you're asking me if I want one, the answer is no. I'd rather us all play Oculus Rift together.
All right.
But you could, I will not.
What if you got a tree and just put like fresh flowers
on it? Isn't this a conversation?
And like pink lights.
Isn't this a conversation we had at the very beginning of our dating life?
I don't remember.
I do believe that at the very beginning of our dating life.
We've come full circle.
You certainly have been talking like it. The very beginning of our dating life, I think one of the things I said was a non-negotiable was no Christmas tree. I can't do it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I just can't. I think they're beautiful. They're for Christians.
Okay, but I'm suggesting like a really small thing that we could decorate. Okay, I guess we don't have to do that.
We can do it. You can do it. I'll get a statue of Vishnu as well and I'll light some incense for it.
Well, that would be great. That would be beautiful. It could be like a celebration of every religion. Like, what else do you do? Like, what a great thing to teach your kid. You could have all Vishnu hanging, you know, you could have Hindu gods. You could have, what's Kwanzaa about?
Kwanzaa, they basically do a Hanukkah, a menorah as well. So we're pretty close.
Candles. We could do like different ornaments. We could research some other religions and some pagan rituals.
None of this, is my thing. I don't like it.
I just love making ornaments. All right, so then we could hang ornaments like on what?
Honey, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'll let you do whatever you want, but when it comes to like Christmas light, it's always going to make my skin crawl. I love Christmas for Christians.
Well, if anyone has any advice, like we just gave those people advice on Santa Claus.
We should have called them back. Ask them what we should do.
Can we call them back?
I don't think they can help.
I think they'd have some good ideas.
Okay,
good
fine. Call them back.
Hello.
Hey, you guys.
We haven't stopped arguing since we got off the phone with you.
Oh, for real?
Well, your call kind of like triggered me in a way, and I guess I just want to ask you what you guys think about this because
we want your advice.
I really want to be able to express myself, even in a pagan way, with the decor in my house and have it be seasonal. It feels like this fun shift to go into, and it, you know, the trees smell good, and it's such a creative thing to do with your kid to make the ornaments. And like, you don't have to like, when the day Jesus, you know, died or right. whatever, like bring out the present. But like,
wait, is that what you celebrate on Christmas? Is Jesus's death?
I'm a bad Christian. I don't know.
Wait, what is Christmas? It's his birthday.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. He was born.
Okay. All right.
Oh, right. The nativity scene. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I just wanted you guys to ask you if you had any advice for us, because Moshe said it's actually a deal breaker for him for me to bring anything.
I didn't say it quite like that. I said that early on in our relationship, I told her a Christmas tree is kind of like a non-negotiable. I can't do a Christmas tree. I love them in other people's homes, but they make my skin crawl in my house, because I'm not of that faith. I don't celebrate that holiday, even though Christmas has become more than just a Christian religion. So now Natasha's trying to get a Hanukkah bush, and she said, you know what? I think that they could help us. Maybe they would have some advice for us. So what do you think we should do?
I feel like Natasha's advice, if you were giving yourselves advice, would be, you know, just like try to embrace it in a different direction. Like find some other, I don't know, get a lavender bush or something that smells good, and you can cut things, you know, make ornaments for. It's kind of like, I'm in academia, and we no longer say BC and AD. We say BCE and CE, before right. Common Era.
No, I thought that was era. Before Christ ever. No?
Wait, I didn't know that. Before Common Era and...
Common Era.
Interesting. Yeah. CE but doesn't quite still, have a ring to it. But
it's still linked to Jesus' supposed birth, right? Mm. You know, so it's like, you can't totally upend the way that we do dating, but you can kind of like take the Christ out of Christmas, or you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. sort of mixing the two things.
But you're just telling us to go
like,
to Mass.
You could be like, I'm good, you know, I want to get some bush that smells really good. I want to get some bush that smells really good and create ornaments with my daughter. And obviously, anyone from the outside will be like, oh, this is just like a Christmas tree and an ornament, but kind of meets Moshe's requirements while also kind of getting the same sort of excitement. That's I feel the advice that Natasha would give to a couple.
It's kind of hard to say no, Moshe, to a nice lavender bush.
It is hard
with like statues of Vishnu on it.
It is hard to say no.
Doesn't feel very Christian.
I will not stand in your way. I think that was good advice. That was well given. And I think that we can get a lavender bush.
Oh, awesome.
Or some good smelling bush.
I love it. We could just get a marijuana plant.
It's kind of like, you know what you were reminding, that's a great idea for our 2-year-old. What you were reminding me of when you were saying, like, you know, even though you say CE, you're still kind of dealing with the Christian calendar. It's like the idea that there's no ethical choices under capitalism. Like, you can do what you can, but you're never going to be able to divorce yourself from the basic system. And so right. So the fact that we even celebrate Hanukkah as significantly as we do, I don't know if you guys know this, the only reason Hanukkah is this huge holiday is because of Christmas. It's basically because around wintertime, Hanukkah is a pretty minor holiday in Judaism, but around wintertime, this gigantic major Christian holiday was happening. And so the Jews were like, well, we got to give our kids something. And so it became this much bigger ritualistic thing. Not that you lit the menorah and it was nice, but it wasn't like it's Hanukkah time. Like, it was just it's a pretty uh-huh. minor holiday. So in that way, oh God, my skin is crawling already, but I will.
Moshe, I won't let you down. Nothing will feel Christian.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like it's like an exciting challenge to kind of meet Natasha's kind of hope for the season while also like not making Moshe's skin crawl.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
Carolyn, you're my last hope here. You're the scientist in the family. What do you think?
I'm glad I let him answer, because I really didn't have a very good idea, and I know he would have a better answer than I have. I mean, I guess finding somewhere to meet in the middle, like, you know, this bush talk is very,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe I could set it on fire on Christmas Day and say, I am the only true God. I am that I am. And so then she'll believe in the Abrahamic God and not ever be tempted by Santa Claus or his cousin Jesus.
Well, I know it's late there, and I'm glad we called you back because you've been thinking about Christmas pretty deeply. So you were the perfect people to ask for this question. And thank you so much.
Yeah,
and
thank
we'll
you
talk
guys.
To you again, hopefully.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
I don't know why I told him we'd talk to them again.
Well, let's call him back.
Well, you know, now I am inspired. I liked what he was saying. Like, you know, like, let's take it in a new direction because it was a like, what did the pagans decorate their trees with? It certainly wasn't like...
I think it was probably satanic symbols, evil spells, incantations.
I bet it was like pine cones and, you know, strings of flowers.
Garlands.
Virgins. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about
virgins.
This.
You know, you put the angel on top of the Christmas tree? They used to stick a virgin in by their asshole on top of a pine tree and kill it that way. Do you know that?
No.
You didn't know about that?
No.
That's.
Is that a joke?
It is a joke. Yeah, it didn't really happen. Yeah.
Maybe we could get on top of a mensch on a bench.
Mensch on a bench.
Isn't that the little Jewish thing that you put on your tree?
I don't know what this is.
Someone was selling it on Shark Tank.
Oh, I gotta go. I can't.
I should just stop talking about it since you approved of a lavender bush.
I didn't approve of it. I submitted to it. It's very different.
All right. Well.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Mosh.
You recognize this sound?
Yeah, that's right. I'm off the wagon, baby.
From your old Diet Coke addiction days.
No, what this is a soda. It's a soda pop. It's called Olipop. And I can't tell you, like, I got this Olipop.
It's good.
It's a crazy experience because it's like it's at once decadent. You know you're drinking something desserty and sweet, but you're also feeling that it tastes healthy, but not in a nasty, gross, gritty way. And then you look at the ingredients and you're like, yeah, I was right. It tastes like soda if soda was created by a hippie living on top of a mountain, but that it was still good. Like, okay, for example, I drank the cherry vanilla. It was straight up so good. I look at the ingredients. It's like cherries and vanilla and a bunch of natural stuff. Guess how much sugar? Guess how much sugar they had in that cherry vanilla.
How much?
3 grams. Guess how much is in like a Fanta?
Or like a Coke?
44.
Really?
44 grams compared to 3 grams, and it tastes like the exact same thing. I'm excited about this product. I just sipped on that root beer, tasting really good, and it's all natural stuff.
All of their products are non-GMO, vegan, paleo, keto-friendly, with less than 8 grams net carbs per can. They're also so confident that you'll love their products, they're offering 100% money-back guarantee, which we do not want because we want to have more Olipop in our lives.
Dude, it's good. Listen to some of these ingredients. Water, marshmallow root, apple juice, lemon juice, root beer flavor. That's what we're tasting right now is the root beer. Burdock root. We worked out a special deal just for Endless Honeymoon podcast listeners. You can receive 20% off plus free shipping on their best-selling variety pack. That's what we got. And every soda is delicious. It's a great way to try all their delicious flavors.
Go to drinkolipop.com/honeymoon or use code honeymoon at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkolipop.com/honeymoon.
You'll be able to remember the name because it's like lollipop, but you, when you take a sip, will be like, oh, Olipop. Is that good, Tosh? You like that?
Olipop can also be found in over 3,000 stores across the country, including Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, and Erewhon.
It's good. So go to drinkolipop.com/honeymoon and get 20% off, free shipping, and start drinking soda again because for some crazy reason, as negative as everything has been this last year, they figured out a way to make soda kind of good for you.
This stuff is good.
I know. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I've noticed something about you lately.
What's that?
Your breath is not humming anymore. Has something changed in your dental hygiene habits?
You know I got the Bruche.
Bruche? I'm a fan.
People have been contacting me from our podcast telling me they got it and they love it.
It is genuinely I'll tell you
superior.
Exactly. I'll tell you what I love. I love when I find a product and I'm like, oh, this is the better version of the thing that I've been using.
Right. And it doesn't look like fucking shit. It's just sitting on your, you know, it's like really designed nicely.
It's too. A beautiful toothbrush with that strong, vibrating energy makes your teeth feel cleaner. It's just a no-brainer. The battery lasts forever. It's all of the positive things about electronic toothbrushes without any of the negatives.
And you guys can get a pretty sweet deal on one of them with using our promo code HONEYMOON.
At Bruche.com. There's a 90-day risk-free trial and a 2-year warranty. It's Bruche, Bruush.com, promo code HONEYMOON. The thing about electric toothbrushes is that they clean your teeth at 31,000 movements a minute. That is, Bruche does. Manual toothbrushes top out at just 300, and some other electronic toothbrushes are barely a step up from manual. The ones that work really well are like $200 or more, but Bruche isn't. It's an inexpensive, well-designed, super awesome product.
Stays charged.
It stays charged for so long.
When we took it camping, we were gone for 5 weeks and I didn't have to charge it. And it's cute.
It's a genuinely good product and I genuinely recommend you get it. We love ours. I got a black one. She's got a pink one. Anyway, you can get whatever you want. Go to Bruche.
That's Bruush.com. Promo code honeymoon.
Should we play a couple of secrets
or
should we do another call?
Secret.
Oh, let's do it. Let's play a secret.
Hi. last year, my grandfather finally passed away after a long battle with cancer. Obviously, my family was very upset, but I think they were also a bit relieved that, you know, suffering was over and, you know, all the things that you say whenever someone passes away after a long sickness. Anyway, at the funeral, I'm sitting in the second pew from the very front, and I'm on the left side of the church, and I am on the very last seat, as far as you can go, closest to the wall. My aunt is a sculptor, and she made a sculpture for the ceremony out of, like, rose quartz or, like, a peachy rose quartz. And my grandfather's name started with a J, and so the sculpture was in the shape of a J. From my angle, it just looked like a giant dick. And as it went more serious and, you know, a little bit more emotional, I was beginning to laugh uncontrollably because all I could see was giant dick in front of my grandfather's casket. I was laughing, you know, not audibly. I was laughing so hard that I was shaking the pew, and I had to leave because I acted like I was crying, but I went outside and I to my car and just laughed as hard as I could. And then I went back in and ate a turkey sandwich. It was great. I think Pop would have loved it. Love the show. You guys are fucking hilarious. Bye.
I am so jealous of her.
Why?
Because, like, those solo laughs alone where you,
they're
like,
nice, huh?
Start... I can't even remember the last time I had one.
I love that feeling of uncontrollable laughter. It's so...
But what about with yourself? That's cool.
That's even rarer. It's hard to... It's usually you have a partner that's egging your laughter
that's
on.
That's fun, too.
But it does feel good. You know, the good news is that laughing and crying look physically very similar, so probably no one was the wiser. It reminded me, though, of a... I was at an AA meeting once many years ago in Marin, and we're like a group of us from Oakland came out. So we already kind of, it's kind of a ritzy part of Marin. So we already kind of looked like, and not that we didn't belong, but we definitely were like, people noticed that there were kids, young people there that at this really affluent meeting. And this woman was speaking, this really rich woman, and she was like, I remember this so well. She was like, and no, I didn't have children that I neglected, and no, I didn't have, you know, I didn't steal from my parents, but when I looked in the eyes of my horse, she was talking about her horse her stabled horse,
mm-hmm.
and how sad her horse looked at her because of the way she was drinking. And my friend Breeze was sitting in the thing next to me, and she was like about to cry. And he laughed so, it was silent, and he laughed so loud. I mean, like uproarious laughter. And the everybody was like, it was pretty horrifying and inappropriate, but also very, very funny, because this woman was like, I knew when I looked in my horse's eyes that I wasn't living right. And this guy came up to him after the meeting and was just like, yeah, do you like the meeting? I remember this. And to Breeze, he goes, you like the meeting? It's like, yeah. He goes, you think it was funny? And then Breeze looked at him and he got really kind of mad. He goes, you know what? There are certain psychological reactions that don't have to do with choice, that are not choice-based, but in fact are reaction-based. Laughter is one such psychological reaction, and I could not control it. And also, we don't have horses in Oakland. And he turned around and walked out of the room.
Is Breeze his birth name?
It is.
For real?
For real.
Okay, I don't believe you, but...
It is.
I like it.
Well, we'll give him a call sometime.
Okay, let's do it.
We'll take a horse up to Oakland and see how he's doing. Should we play another secret?
Yeah.
Hey, Mosa and Mama Natasha. I was just listening to you guys. I was just updating. It's a secret. So I was updating my resume and I was writing all the volunteer work that I did. And I put in there how I used to volunteer in the soup kitchen for many years. And I tell people about it sometimes when they like talk about volunteer work or whatever. But actually, I was doing community service of like 300 hours for multiple DUIs. That's why I was actually there. I mean, it wasn't like a bad thing that I was there. I was actually helping somebody, but it was community service, not like actual volunteer work out of the goodness of my heart. So yeah, that's my secret. Peace out.
I feel like this is a lie I would have told.
I'm for it. I mean, it's like if you go to prison and you get a college degree, did you not get a college degree? You got the college degree. So if you do volunteer at a soup kitchen, well, the volunteer part's a bit of a lie. But if you are compelled to go to a soup kitchen, you did soup kitchen stuff.
Yeah, I really think that anything you can do to sort of like create empathy within yourself, I think traveling is really good. I think volunteer work, it doesn't matter what brought you there.
Getting four DUIs, anything you can do. I think it's good.
I mean, definitely the DUIs, that's bad.
DUIs are bad. Soup kitchen,
good. But
she
probably learned her lesson.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but she definitely served that soup. I just feel like everything is a hustle. I've never understood these people who like have a famous dad and are like, I changed my name because I wanted to know that I'd made it on my own name. And I'm like, who cares? Hollywood, the world, everything is so profoundly unfair and meaningless that why not just find success however you can get it? Like, I don't care. Oh, I didn't want to cheat on a test, so I failed out of school. I mean, I don't know. No, I take it back. Now I'm thinking of it. You got to have some ethics. But anyway.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm for it.
I want to think of ways that I can volunteer this season, this year. I think that's another thing about Hanukkah. Hanukkah really isn't about like giving back, but like,
what do you mean?
Well, hold on. Christmas, you know, I was in a Christmas carol my whole life, and like it's all about like Scrooge coming to terms. Like he's just like, are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Why don't the poor people just go feed themselves?
Honey, that's a story by Charles Dickens. That's,
I know,
not the,
but
Christmas
it's
holiday
entwined with, I mean, they, in the theater that I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, every single year, that I did 50 performances of.
You're saying, so like Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Like, what is the Christmas spirit? And it's about, you learn from these plays and from, you know, stories. It's about giving. And I feel like, you know, anyway, my point is, now that Moshe's letting me have a bush and I'm going to feel,
oh, God,
like,
oh boy,
there's, well, I just want to be able to instill that kind of spirit in my daughter in terms of like, let's go out and try
wait a minute, you're talking about bringing home a Hanukkah bush and infusing her with Christmas spirit?
No, spirit,
you bring home the bush, she says bah humbug, that's the deal.
No, it's not Christmas spirit, it's just the spirit of there's actually a season of giving. I don't know if you've heard of that, Moshe.
Well,
but
I know
it's
that
not
there's,
spring.
I know that there's a reason for the season.
No, but I mean, no one, if you think of like, what season do you like try to give back? It's like
the holidays, well, right? You just did it. You just gave a bunch of turkeys to people who couldn't afford turkeys.
Well, that's because I believe in the message of Thanksgiving much more than Christmas. I believe that when you arrive on a continent that is you've never been to before, you plant a flag of your home nation and say, this is ours now.
I know that was a joke.
Well, it was a joke, Natasha, and I understand what you're saying, and I like I actually love the vibe around the holidays.
It's not like Hanukkah's like, and then we give back. They're it's not like, no, we're going to eat fried food and
No.
Spin the dreidel.
No. There's
Buy
nothing
the oil.
There is nothing inherent in the holiday of Christmas that is about giving back.
That's not true.
There is nothing inherent in the holiday of Christmas that's about giving back. What has happened as a result of Christmas being this annual celebration is that this idea of Christmas spirit has come around. And that's cultural. That's not about... Christmas is about Jesus Christ's birth.
Well...
Oh, I guess maybe the wise men gave gifts? Mm-hmm. Is that part of it?
I don't know, I guess. I really didn't pay attention.
My point is,
school.
The point I'm trying to make is, regardless of what the mythology of Hanukkah does or doesn't support with like giving, everybody's around during the Christmas, the holiday season. So Jews give back
I'm not saying Jews don't, of course. I'm just saying it's like sometimes with Christmas, maybe that's why you start giving back at Thanksgiving. Every year you send these turkeys because you don't get to express yourself in that way. You know, like the Laugh Factory, it's always like, Christmas time, come help us serve the homeless. You know, it's like, that's like a famous time. And also, you know, I think one of the best parts about Christians is that they like turn the other cheek and they're like, they are really like when they're at their best. You can also like celebrate what the best qualities of Christians are. Obviously not when they're raping children.
Wait, what? But like, how did any of this happen? I'm not going against how did child rape get brought up? All I want is a Red Ryder BB gun. No, I agree with you. Christmas is a beautiful time of year. I think it's really nice. I'm not against Christmas. I just don't celebrate it.
But maybe there's a way, what he's saying, the guy we just talked to, the academic.
Oh, wow. You liked him, huh?
Maybe there's a way to like, because like nobody wants, who wants their kid to believe in Santa Claus? That seems so
honey,
dated.
If you brought me.
Nobody wants religion.
If you brought
I don't
me two
religion.
Choices.
Yeah.
And you said, one, we get a lavender bush. Two, every year we go volunteer and help other people, down and out people, celebrate Christmas. You know, find a way to have a Christmas meal or buy poor families, get them, you know, like gift cards or something so that they can get their kids toys. I'm going to choose the option two every day of the week.
Let's just do that then because I don't think ornaments are going to hang off of a lavender bush is small.
So that's what we'll tell the families too. We'll say, look, we were going to do a Hanukkah bush, but
we're
we
Jews for Christmas for other people.
I love that. I'm straight up. That's something I could get behind.
And but then we could teach that to our kids.
I'll even say we do celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas by helping other people celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
But we have to tell the families when we give them the gift card or the food or whatever, we have to tell them, listen, we were going to do a Hanukkah bush, and then we realized that the structure of the lavender branch wouldn't support the weight of a ornament, ergo, we're here helping you. If we had any other way, were a lavender a slightly stiffer plant, you wouldn't be getting this Toys R Us gift certificate. But because it is weak, we are strong.
Well, if anyone has any hot tips on how we can use our podcast or our selves or some of our money to help, because right now it's a hard time to give of your time because it's I don't really want to go to a soup kitchen right now.
Right.
Obviously it's COVID.
Yeah.
So I think that it would be nice to know about some other ways to volunteer. So anyway, if anyone has any tips, please DM me.
I actually think Chelsea had something like that. Our old friend Chelsea Peretti. Let's call her right now. I'm just kidding, guys. We're gonna move on. And we're gonna celebrate Christmas the old-fashioned way by helping people.
Love it.
What do you think? One more secret? Want to do a call?
Let's do a call.
I think that's a good idea.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Do you enjoy getting large boxes of things that you like in the mail?
Yes.
I do too. It's like, and I want to cut down on this Amazon thing, but I like little gifts, you know? But most of the time when you're in one of these subscription services, like, it's so narrow and specific. It's like the Wine of the Month Club, or it's razors, or what. CrateJoy came along, and they made the experience of buying a gift for someone customized to that someone. It's essentially subscription boxes for men and women or kids or anyone in your life, and it matches their interests to what you subscribe them to. So what? Do you know a coffee lover? You get them a coffee of the month thing. Do you know a brand new mom? You get them stuff for parenting. Do you know somebody who loves to barbecue? You get them a barbecue box. Is there a cocktail bartender guy that you know with a little twisty mustache and you're kind of annoyed to talk to him? Get him out of your life. Get him a subscription to the cocktail box.
Or you would like an escape room box.
Oh, they have that. They straight up have that. There's an escape room and mystery boxes for the adventurers at home. There's all these different things. There's craft kits. Basically, if you're unsure of what to buy someone that you love for the holiday season, think of their interests, go to CrateJoy, and just get them a box that fits those interests.
And get 30% off your first box when you sign up at CrateJoy.com/honeymoon.
That's right. You can sign up today at CrateJoy.com/honeymoon, and you can get 30% off your first box, and you can shop CrateJoy's holiday specials.
CrateJoy. Get joy delivered right at your door.
Okay. We're going to call, honey.
Yeah.
We're going to call Taylor in Missouri.
Hello?
Taylor.
Taylor.
Hi.
How are you?
Is this Natasha and Moshe?
No. Who's that?
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Oh, hello.
It's us, Taylor. How are you?
What's Missouri like?
I'm so good. What a joy.
Our joy.
It's got its ups and downs.
Oh, you mean that arch?
Oh, I've been there. That's St. Louis.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I forgot.
I've been to St.
It's
Louis.
It's our claim to fame.
I went to that city museum. You ever been to that city museum?
No, but I've been to the mega bus stop in St. Louis.
Well, that's almost the same. They're pretty comparable.
You know what's really good is going there in the summer. I went in the summer to do stand-up in St. Louis, and I just remember the weather and, you know, just being like, we went on carriage rides, my mom and I, with my kid, and it was really kind of like, St. Louis is a really cute city.
I don't even think you live in St. Louis, do you, Taylor?
I don't live in St. Louis.
I was getting a vibe based on that megabus comment. But I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what, Taylor. The last time I was in St. Louis, there was both a Jimmy Buffett and an NRA convention in my hotel happening simultaneously.
Oh. Yikes.
So,
lucky you.
Anyway, all that aside, Nelly. Chingy. No, wait. Chingy's not from St. Louis. It doesn't really matter. The point is, we'd like to know why you called.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking my call. So I have a problem with a friend. So my friend is dating and on the apps and really putting herself out there. And she's going through all these, like jumping through all these hoops by texting these guys and talking to them on the phone for weeks before agreeing to meet up with them in person. And then once they meet in person, these guys who she's developed an emotional connection with, they are not interested anymore. So I thought she was just having like a bad string of luck with guys. But recently she showed me her dating profile, and I noticed that all of her profile photos are heavily altered. Like they've got heavy filters from like Snapchat and things, or they are like touched up. And I like very casually was just like, oh, did you use Facetune for these? And she goes, yeah, but you know, it's kind of like expected. You're like, everybody else does that. So my question to you guys is, do I even say anything? Or like, if I do, should I, how do I tell my beautiful, gorgeous friend that maybe the reason these guys are turned off after meeting her is because she doesn't look like her photos in her profile.
This is good.
Well, she might be attracting more superficial type guys who like a certain type of like doctored look, you know, like it doesn't seem that off that you say she's this, you know, beautiful and natural person.
Well, that was she was being really nice.
Right. Okay. Well, still, it's like, definitely you could, what I would do if it was my friend and saw it and kind of gulped when I saw the pictures, I'd be like, you should just try something where it's just like really you. Like, what are things where you just like feel like yourself? Like really just like take very honest pictures, put them up there, see what happens. That's what I would say. I wouldn't be like, you know, you're more of a 7 and these pictures are like a 9.5.
You know what's funny? I would say like the filters are such a norm. Like, I remember she took a selfie with me and, showed it to me afterward. And I was like, oh my gosh, this doesn't even look like us. And she goes, oh yeah, I just have this filter that I use. So, but I mean, yeah, I could ask her, just say, do you take any photos without the filters? I don't even know if it's any of my business, and I guess I am making a big assumption by that maybe these guys are turned off by it.
No,
but
you're right. You're 100% right. That is what's happening. Guaranteed, that's what's happening. And they, even if they're not turned off by the way she does look, they're probably turned off by the fact that they've been bait and switched, that they're getting a false version of someone, which is in itself, regardless of how cute the person in front of you is, you're feeling like weirded out by the fact that they weren't honest. But wait, I don't think you should say what you said. You should replay this episode when it comes out and say exactly what Natasha just said, because it was like perfect. It was like, the reason these guys are not going for you is because these filters make you look like someone that would attract superficial guys, that like a doctored look.
Oh,
and that was like perfect to me. It's like the most neutral version of be yourself. And then the next thing you said was, I can't even repeat. I have nothing to add. I just think exactly what Natasha said was perfect. It was like, that is what it is.
I see.
Do you have any photos that look more like you? Because you're so beautiful and you want to attract people that are attracted to you.
Also, I just want to say, have mercy on your friend, because I have a friend who is a playmate, and she's a makeup artist. She's one of the most attractive people I've ever met. And the guys act like that to her too.
Really?
She's more gorgeous than her pictures. I'm just saying, it's like, it's rough out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think because of that, it's almost like you want to just kind of put your foot forward that's just like really you. There's only one you, right? Like, it's like you can't really try to be. How are you going to be in a sustained relationship with someone who thinks like your chin is a little smaller than it is or something, or whatever angle you're, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I mean, look, I've been in this situation where you show up and you go, oh my God, this is not the person that I agreed to go out with. I mean, and it's superficial and it's even piggish, but it's also like, hey, it's kind of understandable. If you were sold one thing and that's who you agreed to meet, and then you go, oh, you were showing me some false version of yourself. But I think the primary answer is, this is not your business and very well could blow up in your face. I think Natasha said it perfectly, but it very well could be interpreted as, listen, you're not as cute as these pictures, so why don't you try being a little bit more honest? So find a way to manipulate this conversation into where it's appropriate for you to say what Natasha said.
And also, if you want to make her feel better, you can tell her the story of one of my other friends who was having really hard time dating and finally was like, okay, this guy's in a wheelchair, but I'm going to go on a date with him. And she went on a date with him for dinner, and he was like really arrogant the entire time. And then she said, he said he had to go to the bathroom and then wheeled on out of there. And she was just stood up.
It was more than she was expecting.
No, I mean, he just like pretended like he was going to the bathroom and left the diner. So I'm just saying, like, it's bad. It gets bad.
Natasha.
What? I'm just saying, You want to cut that out?
No, I don't know. I can't tell, actually. But listen.
I mean, she was like on the fence about going on a date with someone in a wheelchair. I don't know. I mean, it happens.
And then
she
was
finally
like,
was like, I'm going to do it.
And he just hit a wheelie. It was like, I'm out of here.
And he lied to her during dinner and left her with the fucking check.
Yeah.
And she was like, bitch, already like not really sure I wanted to go on a date with you.
Well, it's hard.
Because I didn't
out
know
there
if I was attracted to you.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do, Taylor? Are you gonna have the conversation?
I mean, I really like the idea of thinking like, hey, maybe these altered photos that you think need to be altered are attracting superficial guys.
That's
like
so
maybe
good.
We need to show a different side of you. I think that's a good call.
And the other trick to talking to your friends about stuff like that is don't offer it. Once she mentions, you know, you're not like, oh, we need to talk. The pictures that you're posting. I think it's better. It's like once if you're, she's a good friend and your instinct is that you should probably like you kind of have an idea in your head. Wait for her to bring it up and then just kind of really casually say it. And if she wants to take the lead, she can.
Man, Natasha, you're nailing it. Next time she complains to you about her dating life, you say, yeah, you know, I was thinking about your profile. And then say what, and then say exactly what Natasha said, and then your friend will find love. It's guaranteed. And in the meantime, I'm gonna look up this playmate of Natasha's and see what that's all about.
All right. Well, good luck. And I think it's good that you tell your. I think friends are there to help us, but you just don't want to like overstep.
Yeah, like I wasn't even sure if it's any of my business, but that I think opening up to different types of guys is a good way to put it. So.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah, great. You guys give such good advice. I'm glad I called. I was a little nervous.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Okay. Bye. Awesome. Bye.
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 Natasha, that was really good.
Nothing against people in wheelchairs.
No.
I'm just saying the girl that I knew was on the fence about this guy because he's in a wheelchair. That's a lot to take on.
Sure.
For a first date.
And he looked at her and he's like, that's a lot to take on too.
Well, she said the reason why she didn't want to date him, he seemed really cocky in their texts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she was like, okay, I'll give it a try because nothing else is working. You know, people try to challenge themselves.
Yeah.
And
dating sucks, but yeah, it's also kind of fun. What can you do? I'm glad I'm not dating anymore. You know why?
Why?
Because I love you.
I love you too.